Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Coming to America at the tender age of fourth grade, don't know how old I was, 10, it was very apparent that I was a fob. For those who don't understand, it's fresh off the boat. It's someone who literally just came to America from overseas.
When you don't do those things for your parents or your family, when you don't put your family first, you then feel, I felt like a bad daughter. I felt like I was disappointing them. I knew what I could do to make them happy, but am I going to prioritize their happiness, or am I going to try to prioritize mine? Welcome to Voice Hugs, a podcast on becoming your best self and embracing all seasons of life with open arms. This is your host, Viv and Ro.
Hello.
Hello, hello. I have a story to tell, and it was actually a very, very sweet moment. I wrote it in my journal as like a really special thing that happened last month. So a few weeks ago, actually, I was walking Charlie at a farmer's market after work. And usually when I take Charlie on walks, I'm stopped often because people want to know like, oh, like, can I pet your dog? What kind of breed is he? Oh my God, what's his name? And so as I'm walking through this farmer's market, I sense that someone is following me. And so I actually start walking a little bit faster because I was like, oh, I don't want to stop. But then I like really sense that this person's following me. So I just do a complete stop and I turn around. And there's this like young girl. She came up to me and I thought she was going to say, hey, like, what kind of dog do you have? You know, he's so cute. Mm-hmm. And she goes, are you Viv from Voice Hugs? And I was like,
her jaw just dropped on video.
Oh yeah, sorry. My jaw just dropped and I just looked at her and I was like, oh my God, yes. This was the first time ever being stopped because of Voice Hugs. And I was just like in shock. So she was like, hey, I've been like listening to Voice Hugs and I'm like a huge fan. And I was like, oh my God, this is so special. And she asked to take a photo and I was like, no, I want a photo with you. I was like, can you send me that photo afterwards? Like, it was just so special. I went back to the farmer's market a week or two later because she was working one of the booths and she wrote both of us a handmade card, and I'll show a little b-roll of that. It was super sweet and I just couldn't believe it, and I ended up following her on Instagram and I'm gonna get a coffee with her in a few weeks.
That is so sweet. I actually haven't seen the letter yet because I moved home and immediately came to Asia and Viv and I didn't get to see each other.
Yeah. There's a very different feeling of like meeting someone in person in real life based on them hearing your stories on a podcast, which is so intimate. You know, like I don't... Mm-hmm. Like if I was just someone who posted a lot of like pretty photos on Instagram, I'd be like, oh, cool. Like you like my aesthetic eye or something like that. Like you like my style. But then I think for someone to like recognize me and also recognize me because of my voice, she heard me call Charlie and she was like, oh my God, that's Vivian. Like I recognize her voice. It was like just so special. I think like that's partly why I wanted to like continue the relationship and like actually meet her and get to know her, because that's what we wanted, or that's at least like what I really wanted out of this like connection and stuff. And so to be able to do that was just so special.
Connection and a community.
Yeah.
I'm very curious what you wrote in your journal that day, or like with this event, this little event.
I had a full therapy session about this as well. And I actually cried because it was like so sweet to me. And I mean, now I feel like when this listener hears it, she's gonna be like, what? You cried? But back to what I was saying about like someone listening to your stories and like on a podcast, I feel like this is more of like who I am as a person, you know, especially in the context of our relationship. Our friendship is very real and very true in my life. And so the conversations that come out of it, it is very Vivian. And so for someone to see that and see me and make me feel seen and heard and understood, which is what we were trying to do for our listeners on the podcast, it was almost like this switch moment where in her card to me, she wrote about like all these instances or like stories that were shared throughout multiple episodes. And so it's like, wow, I felt like understood and seen by her. And so it was just so sweet and special because of that.
Aww.
When we first started Voice Hugs, I think a few of our pillars included connection was a huge one, and community was like an offspring to that, you know, like creating this sense of belonging and understanding. And so to be able to experience that in real life, quite honestly, we're always just talking to our computer. Like, we haven't even really recorded in real life.
Exactly.
Like 90% of the time I'm in a closet that's like tiny. And so it feels very, not lonely, but like it's a very individual process and I don't get to engage as much. And so being able to do that with this listener, it's just really special. She actually submitted a question for us, an episode topic idea. And so we're going to dedicate this episode to this listener's topic / question, which is, how does your ethnicity and culture impact your life today?
I feel like this is very timely because of the connection and the community where, yeah, I think a huge part of our ethnicity is about community.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like how we identify ourselves when it comes to ethnicity and culture, we actually haven't really talked about that at all on Voice Hugs. So I think it'll be a fun new topic to chat about and hear about our similarities and differences of being Asian American. Yeah. And then even just like within the subcultures of like our ethnicity or like how our families came to America and the different impacts and influences that resulted in who we are today.
This reminds me of, do you remember like maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago where growing up Asian American was a huge thing on YouTube? Where like Jenim and then Wiley, Sophie, like all the Asian American creators had a dedicated video on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My story is just a bit different. So I was like, yeah, I don't want to create a video dedicated on how I'm Asian American and like sound like I'm bragging. Anyway, you guys will understand why in a second.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I actually think there's a lot of benefits to sharing like different stories because I guess we'll start kind of from the beginning. So we'll give some background and then I'll share a little bit more about like my realizations with my experiences versus someone like you who had a very different upbringing than myself.
Mm-hmm.
So to start off, what is your ethnicity / tell us a little bit about your upbringing and your background.
Okay. Well, I'm Taiwanese American. I was born in the States and I spent my youth in America until I was like 4 or 5 years old. I moved back to Taiwan from I think pre-K to 3rd grade and then I moved back to the States in 4th grade. So I always joke that my English isn't good and my Chinese also isn't really that good because I missed both formative years. Like when you're learning grammar in grade school, like from 1st grade to 3rd grade, I wasn't here. I also left Taiwan when I was third grade. So my Chinese also isn't that great. So that was the bullet points of my youth.
What about you?
Quick bullet points. Okay. So I always struggle when someone asks me like what ethnicity I am, because I think my last name is Vietnamese, but my family is like Chinese, born in Vietnam. So my grandparents had left China because of the communist war then, and all left to different like Asian countries. So my grandfather went to Vietnam and had my mom there, and same thing happened with like my dad's side as well. And so like culturally, I think I definitely have a lot of Vietnamese influence, but I can't say that I'm like Vietnamese either. And then when it comes to like being Chinese, I don't really know anything about China or like the culture of that either. I feel like mine is just a blended, unique group of like Chinese Vietnamese people who I've actually met a few people who are like have a similar background as me in Southern California as well. Like a lot of parents are Chinese, they speak Chinese. My mom speaks like 5 different languages, but she's like not Vietnamese though she was born there. Mm-hmm. So that's my ethnicity. And then when it comes to like how my family came to the States, that was because of another war. So definitely I think like that experience of why they came here has influenced a lot of the mindsets that have been ingrained in me over the years. Yeah, I think just any immigrants during wartime, there's like probably a lot of trauma or like scarcity mindset that gets brought along with them and passed on to the next generation. I was born in Southern California, and I actually grew up in a predominantly Caucasian neighborhood. I didn't really have Asian friends until high school, and for sure in college. And so growing up, my idea of being Asian American was I thought all Asians in America came because of war. It was like so foreign to me to meet people in college like yourself, where I was like, oh, like you can have parents who came here for school or like came here for college, or they were already here. It was just so foreign to me. And so that was really when I started understanding more about how my experience itself was like unique to me, and that being Asian American is not necessarily the same thing for everyone, which I think goes back to what I was sharing about your story of how, you know, whatever content was put out at the time, I think it's helpful to hear about how differences come up in like your mm-hmm. experience as well, because it exposed me at least to just other ways of being that I shouldn't assume just because you're Asian, you're like me, you know, like we're all different, and I'm projecting mm-hmm. my experience onto someone else just because they like physically look like me.
This difference isn't something that's like bad or whatever. It's just things mm-mm. to be aware of, or like new perspectives, different experiences.
Yeah. Not to like assume someone understands you either, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're Asian, so we get each other. Like that's not mm-hmm. necessarily the case. And if anything, I think that makes it, you take another step to truly get to know someone as a person and ask questions where you get to know them, not just making these assumptions because of how someone looks.
It's very deep what you just said. Can be applied to all facets of life.
Yeah, and I think that's also why we probably didn't talk about being Asian. Like that wasn't like at the forefront of my mind when it came to voice hugs and creating episodes, because I want to say that I just see it more as like we're all just people. And yes, if you have like a common identifier, maybe you share more similar experiences. But like for me, at least, getting to know someone has more to do with like asking them about their story. And being Asian can be a part of it. Even like with you, it's like, well, how did you, you know, go from here to there? Like, how did you feel being split between two very different cultures at such a young age? And that's like more of what I'm curious about rather than, oh, she's Asian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, to answer your question, so with my family's immigration story, this is like super front of mind because I was just talking to all my cousins about it recently. It was during, I think it was after World War II, where like during or after, there was a U.S. base in Taiwan. I actually just heard this story a few weeks ago. My grandpa, being like the loving, caring, super compassionate, big-hearted man that he is, my grandparents didn't have a lot of money growing up. Like my parents, my mom definitely didn't have much money growing up. So like money was already an issue. And my grandpa still chose to save like a chunk of money to give to his little sister so that she can learn English and then maybe have a better life, to the point where my grandma would be like, hello, we have five kids to feed. Like, I think there would be some like disagreements or arguments that will happen. But because my grandpa's little sister was able to learn English, she was able to work at this like English club. I think it's called like the American something, like ACC or something, that I think still exists till this day in Taiwan. And she was able to meet an American soldier and they fell in love. He moved her to the States. And I think back then, this is like, I don't know, like mid-1950s, 60, where if you have a family member that's a U.S. citizen, you can bring over other family members. So my grandpa's sister brought over my grandpa, and then my grandpa brought over the rest of the family. Oh. So, like, I don't think it was necessarily war. And I actually should have probably asked my mom what the real reason was. I think maybe it's just more opportunities, a different life, perhaps like a better life. That's what kind of got them to move over. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to my cousins about this, there's like 10 of us. If you think of the fact that had my grandpa not gone out of his way to provide for his little sister, then she would never have met her husband. And then our whole family would be here living a much different life under much different circumstances. That is wild. And yeah, I think there's just also like a little small tangent, something about traveling. I just love watching people, especially in Japan, kind of like going about their day-to-day lives, their commutes, seeing what they're like, what they eat, what they're doing, how they commute, whatever, because it gives me so much perspective. Like, I wonder what my life would have been like if I grew up here versus Taiwan or versus America or versus like other, like any other country. That's my mom's immigration story. My dad just tagged along. To kind of go back to your initial question too of what it was like growing up in two different places, I think it helped me to, at a very early age, see that there's different cultures. And I think because I spent a good chunk of my time in Taiwan, I saw what it was like being Asian. And so when I was in the States, instead of being like one or the other, it was easier to kind of understand that this is how people did things here versus there. It's not to say one is right or wrong, it's just different. Like, the culture is different. And I think it also helped that I grew up with a bunch of cousins who are the same as me. And also, I grew up in a city going through the school system that was also predominantly Asian. So I think that also kind of helped. Like, the word is like Asianness. I was never really aware of my Asianness because, yeah, because I think I just had so much experience and exposure to my culture. Like, I actually lived in Taiwan. I lived the life, did the thing, spoke the language. I think I was more fluent in Chinese than I was in English when I was younger. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's super interesting to me because I was like so aware of my Asianness. Like, I felt like such an outcast until high school. And then even in high school, I still wasn't aware that like, oh, there are different types of Asians with different family histories and different backgrounds. And so I don't know if that's why, I mean, I guess a lot of my friends now are Asian, but I definitely felt a sense of belonging after I started meeting more Asian people. what you were saying earlier about how, like, even though you were in Asia, and also here where you are surrounded by Asians, like, I'm curious culturally, how does that influence, like, who you are today? Because I think for me, I was so aware of the Eastern culture of, like, putting your family first, your community, you know, like, respecting your elders and just being polite and kind of obedient, versus, like, what you see on TV with, like, Western culture of, like, it's very much about you and your needs, and, like, you can throw tantrums and
whoa, what's that? I would be beat.
I remember one time my mom was like, you need to stop watching Lizzie McGuire because this is a bad influence on you. And in my mind, I'm like, this is just a normal show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm, like, curious what that was like for you, because you are actually surrounded by Asians, but culturally, like, you're probably able to feel it as well.
I think there's so many layers. This topic is so nuanced. I'll start from more of, like, the, like, me as a person coming to America at the tender age of fourth grade. Don't know how old I was, 10. It was very apparent that I was a fob. For those who don't understand, it's fresh off the boat. It's someone who literally just came to America from overseas. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't really bother me, because the reason why I was different, I knew why I was different. It was because I was living another life. So it was normal for me to feel, like, a little different, or to maybe not be as fluent in the language. So, like, I had to go to ESL, English as second language, for kids to, like, pick up on their English skills. I, you know, went through the transition of not having friends and slowly making different groups of friends and eventually finding my group of friends and all of that. And I think this is, like, a very normal and universal feeling that I think a lot of Asians in America go through, is there comes a point where it's like, I just want to be, like, because I'm in America, I just want to be, like, a little white girl. You know, like, the way that I dress, the way that I talk, the things that I eat. And I think, like, my food preference is probably the most apparent thing, where because I grew up eating, I don't know, Asian food all the time. You know, like, in college, it's like, what do you want to eat? Where do you want to go? Like, on dates, you know, whatever, with my significant other at the time, it was, I was like, oh, I want, like, American food. I want Italian food. I want non-Asian food, because Asian food just didn't appeal to me until, like, my mid to late 20s. But I think if it's, like, about me and, like, culture and the person that I want to be, that, I think, yeah, at an earlier age in elementary school, middle school, college, maybe not as much anymore, but, like, there's a part of me that's like, I want to be American. And there comes a point, and I think all of our lives, where you start feeling like, okay, well, I'm not, for as American as I try to be, I'm not fully American. And for as Asian as I try to be, I'm not fully Asian, because I can't fully speak the language. My language skill is capped at a third grade's level. So what am I? You're kind of left in this in-between zone of, you feel like you're in between cultures. So I think that's kind of where I was at, maybe, like, college, when I was conscious enough to think about these things and to realize these things. And I think it was just a feeling that I had that I was aware of. It didn't make me want to do anything. It didn't make me feel less than. There weren't any real feelings attached to it. It was just like, oh, this is interesting. Like, where is my sense of belonging? Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why maybe I was able to see this and not feel like maybe I had anything to prove, or maybe feel like I need to figure it out ASAP, was going back to, like, another layer of, you know, for as much as I grew up in Asia, where the school system is rigorous. Like, people talk about tiger parents here in America. I don't even know what tiger moms are called in Asia, because they're all, like, school is the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think I'm so, so, so lucky, where my parents just wanted me to be a good person. So they never put that pressure on me to be like a certain way. And we actually just talked about it recently when we're here on this trip, where my parents are just joking. They're like, you know, yeah, we weren't straight A students, so how could we expect you and your brother to be straight A students? So I think because of their more chill parenting, like, for the record, my mom is not chill, but when it comes to academics, she's very chill. So I think because of their more chill, like, parenting style when it comes to education, it allowed me to explore things a bit more and allowed me to dream a little bigger.
Yeah. It sounds like, from your experience, whether, like, you're Asian, like, culturally, right? Like, the influence that you had, and also maybe even the culture within your family, there's just never this sense of, like, pressure to be put in a box or to, like, have to do things a certain way. It was more like, okay, this is what it is. And there was this space that you were given to then figure that out for yourself, like, understand it on your own, rather than someone saying, like, oh, you're too Asian, or you're not Asian, or you're fob, or, like, whatever that was. It was just like, hey, I am these things. This is what's happening. And I have the freedom to kind of explore some of that and dream bigger. And that makes a lot of sense, how you ended up in the career path and, like, the place that you are now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like something you said just right now really resonated, where it's like my parents kind of just gave me space to explore while also telling me and helping me understand that it's important for me to know my own cultural heritage. So they let me do things, they let me explore, but they also helped me understand that because you are ethnically Chinese, Taiwanese, whatever, that these are all the things that you, I don't know, just like to still remember where you come from, and that it's a thing to be proud of, rather than something to be, I don't know, anything other than proud, or like maybe ashamed, or something that maybe you need to hide. Because I'm pretty sure there are moments where I'm like, oh my god, why am I so Asian, and I'm missing it, and I'm like, I just want to be more American, and I want to do what other kids are doing. And they just would talk to me like an adult, that like, hey, you know, this is great, you're in America, it's normal for you to feel this way, and that's fine, you can do that, but we just want you to remember also that, you know, here's all like the beautiful lineage and culture that you come from.
I kind of wish my parents did more of that with me, because I feel very disconnected. The influence that my ethnicity has had on me feels more like a reaction rather than an intentional, rather than an understanding of like where I come from.
So Viv, would love to hear from your perspective what it was like growing up in sunny Southern California in a predominantly Caucasian neighborhood.
I was not proud of being Asian. I like wanted to fit in so badly, and I like hated my hair. My hair was like slick straight. I hated my hair. I hated my eyes, everything. I just wanted this American life of, you know, like, and I think especially for me too, I grew up in a house with 10 other people. So it wasn't like I had a dad that went to work, or like a stay-at-home mom who's part of the PTA and would come help in the classroom. Like, this was kind of the dream that I wanted. I don't think that has to do with like being Asian or not Asian, but I think at that young of an age, when you don't understand yourself in the context of the world and like your family's like history and their background as much as you do now as an adult, I just felt very outcasted. Did other people actually like physically outcast me because I was Asian? I don't think so. I think it was more like an internal feeling of recognizing like, oh, there are differences here. There's differences in what we eat, in how your, you know, like, I remember my friends had chores or like allowances. I was like, what are those? Like, I don't have that. And I just had to like focus on studying. Like, I had to get good grades. And I think that was kind of, that's like what I mean by everything felt more like a reaction than an understanding of where I came from. And it wasn't until I started meeting other people who had similar experiences. So once I went to high school and college, you just meet so many more people that are no longer in that neighborhood or like that area that you grew up in. And that was more so when I started feeling proud, not necessarily proud of where I came from, but like I started to appreciate my unique experience in comparison to like how I felt of it when I was younger. Like, wow, it's actually really cool that I eat Asian food. I like use chopsticks. I remember feeling ashamed that like, I was like, I want to eat with a fork. I don't want to eat with chopsticks. but like, it's actually really cool that I can do both, you know, or that I'm exposed to other cultures in a different way than someone who, I don't know, maybe they're like fourth gen or like fifth gen in generation mm-hmm. in America. And so part of that experience for me was I had to learn how my family's influence on me, like not family, but like their ethnicity and like where we came from, how did that impact the way that I'm living my life? I mentioned earlier that my parents came because of the war. And so because scarcity mindset was like such a big thing, I grew up just valuing security and stability. And so very differently from you, like my parents pushed this idea of you need to find a stable and secure job. Like you need to find a career path that's safe. And so I studied accounting in college, right? Like such a safe path for you. You won't get fired. I mean, you won't lose your job. Everyone needs an accountant. And so like even my job today, right, like I work in the government and it's a very safe, secure job, and dreaming big, taking risk is not something that I'm very used to. That's probably like one way that my background has like influenced who I am today. But at the same time, I think what's really great about all of this is that eventually you get to a point where you recognize like your patterns and you recognize your opportunities or your privilege or like the experience that you had, and you see how it has impacted and influenced who you are as a person. But you then have that choice to continue that or to shift it. So for example, what I was sharing earlier about the fear of taking risks and valuing stability and security, now that I'm aware of how that has impacted my life decisions up until this point, I have a choice to either continue that because I like it, it feels safe, it feels comfortable, or I can start questioning, like, do I want to continue down that path? Like, do I want this influence to still impact the way that I choose to go about like living life, right? And I think for me, it was just learning how to take baby steps to become a little bit more true to who you are each year. Was I going to like quit my job and pursue something completely differently?
Voice hooks, full time.
Yeah, like a lot of that still is ingrained in me, you know, that fear, like the family values, like everything that has been passed down is still very much a part of me. But all it is at the end is to be aware of what your experience has been like and what you want to do with that information.
I feel like something we've been talking about a lot when it comes to, I would say, most Asian families, and I think like your upbringing too, you've shared that it's very community oriented, family oriented, the values, all of that is about each other, and also maybe even like making each other happy, making each other, you know, whatever, because you're living together, because they're your parents, versus the Lizzie McGuire style of very like independent, individually minded. Where do you see yourself now, and how do you find yourself navigating kind of, I don't know, like, where are you on the spectrum? And are you happy with where you are?
That was really hard for me, because I think making my parents happy and proud is like such a huge thing growing up. It's like that quote from Mulan, like, bring honor to your family, you know?
Yes.
And so a lot of that was like, I need to do all these things to make mom and dad proud and to make mom happy. And at one point, probably in my mid-20s, was when I realized all of the decisions that I have been making up to this point was to make mom and dad happy, and I myself am so unhappy. So I think for me, I kind of swung to the other side of the pendulum. Instead of taking these baby steps to be more true to myself, I kind of almost avoided my family altogether. I was like, no, I'm not going to let this influence me anymore. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to move out and I'm going to just focus on myself. And I think with that, there's a lot of guilt that comes up. And I'm sure this is also very relevant for Asian American families too, where when you don't do those things for your parents or your family, when you don't put your family first, you then feel, I mean, I felt like a bad daughter. I felt like I was disappointing them. I knew what I could do to make them happy, but am I going to prioritize their happiness? Or am I going to try to prioritize mine, as selfish as that felt? Yeah. Part of my journey, though, was realizing that you can't really be there for someone or love someone if you don't love yourself and if you don't take care of yourself. And so this idea of sacrificial love, which I saw between my mom and her mom and just different people in my different members of my family, I know that's ingrained in me, but I don't want to pass that down either. Like, I don't want my kids to think that they have to make me happy and that that's the role I want to play as their parent, to take care of myself and show them that they can also take care of themselves. So I'm in an interesting place in like my family's like generations history, whatever I'm trying to say, because I'm kind of trying to break some of it. Part of it is just that, like, we're in a different country now, you know, like, you're not surrounded by the culture that is within another Asian country's culture. So yeah, but it's definitely a struggle feeling selfish versus, like, you know, family's all about like giving, and there's almost like no boundaries sometimes with families, and learning how do I say no to my mom? How do I not be there? You know, how do I choose myself and not break that relationship with my family as well?
I think the interesting thing, and what I found, and kind of what we talked about offline before this too, was that I can't speak for all of us, but I think for us, when we kind of go do our own thing, maybe like, you know, the more individualistic path of like trying to figure out who you are, what's important to you, what you love, what you want to love, what you want to be proud of, all of these things, what your culture is, how you want to define culture as. The interesting thing is, I feel like for the most part, or at least I'm just going to speak for myself, that because my parents gave me so much space, and they would sprinkle preferences here and there, like, oh, it'd be nice if, you know, da da, it would be nice if da da da, especially like with like partners, right? I remember they mentioned in passing when I was in college, like, it would be nice if who you ultimately end up marrying could speak Chinese so that we can communicate with them. And instead of it being like, I want to do this because my parents want to do it, like, when they first told me that, I was like, whatever, like, I'm marrying them, like, this is my relationship with my husband. I'm going to marry whoever I want. This is in college. And I think as I got out of college, as I started reconnecting with myself, with spirituality, with what's important to me, I think I ended up coming back to the same conclusion where I was like, okay, I love my parents. I love the relationship I have with my parents. And I will love to have one of the three criterias of what I want in my future husband to be that they can share in that relationship with them and share in that language. And so even though it may seem in the moment that we are doing something that's more selfish, I think if we're very conscious and intentional about why we're doing it, it will ultimately lead us to where we need to be anyway. But I think that journey of choosing for ourselves of where we want to go on this journey and what bucket or what label we want to put ourselves under, or if we even want to label ourselves, maybe why do we need to label ourselves? I think that's something that I realized of like, why do I need to be Asian or why do I need to be American? Why can't I just be me? Just be Rowena, who you know, straddles both of these ethnicities and both of these identities. And maybe that is my identity, to be in the middle, or to, I don't know, to create something beautiful.
You're one of, like, my few friends, I think, like, Asian American friends, who later on in your life decided to reconnect with your roots, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as much with maybe some of my other friendships. And I wonder if it's because you had that space and that, like, openness, and you were exposed to literally a whole other country at such a young age, that it's more so a part of you than having never been to Asia and just being born Asian in America. Yeah, so I think that's really special and that's cool. And I feel like that would make your parents so happy too. And yourself, like, you are happy too with that decision. So with what we were sharing about towards the end of the episode, I think guilt and shame is another great episode topic to talk about, maybe even in the context of, like, family. Because where does that guilt or shame come from? Is it your shame, or is it shame that has been passed down and put onto you? Which, I don't know, I feel like that there's a lot there that I would be curious to explore as well in a future episode. This is such a loaded, I mean, not loaded, but this is such a huge question, you know, like, and it was so broad. So if there is something specific that you guys would like to hear within the context of ethnicity and culture, or maybe something even more specific about how that influences our lives, please let us know. You can always email us, hello@voicehugspodcast.com, or you can shoot us a DM at voicehugspodcast. Thank you again to my very special friend and listener who stopped me at the farmer's market. I can't wait to get coffee with you and anyone else who I meet in the future. Side note, I felt like we were friends. I even told her where I lived, and I was like, oh shoot, this is a stranger who I just pointed, like, I just told her where I lived, but I felt like we were friends because of how we connected. But yeah, I should be careful with that. Not that she was hurt me or anything. That's how close I felt to her.
Yeah, I think we can plan more in-person things around SoCal, maybe later on this year.
Yeah.
I stood up earlier to go tell my dad that we're finishing soon, because he was listening to his news stuff, and I got so lightheaded.
Oh no.
I think it's time. For bed.
It is time. Yes, there's a huge time difference right now. I woke up at like 6:30 to record, and Ro is now touching midnight in Taiwan. So yeah, time for sleepies and good mornings wherever you are in the world. Yes. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Voice Hugs.